Father, thank you once again for drawing us here. And Lord, your word tells us that you don't want us to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit or really concerning anything in your word. And Father, just as the Apostle Paul spoke to and wrote to Timothy, saying, stir up the gifts that are within you that were given when he laid hands on Timothy, we ask for that, Lord, in our own lives, that you would come and you would touch our lives and you would stir up the gifts that you've given us and that they would be put into action and that we would, Lord, have a further understanding tonight of how to use our gifts, what you want to do, where you want us to go. And Father, with that, we want to freshly surrender our lives to you. And what a privilege it is to surrender to you. We can't do anything in and of ourselves. So we confess our weaknesses, our inadequacies, inefficiencies, inabilities, all those things. But we know that because your Holy Spirit is in us, and when your Holy Spirit comes upon us, you give us the power to live this life victoriously and to be used by you. And so have your way tonight, Lord. Open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our minds to everything that you have for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Really quick before we start, just to let you know that our fall Bible study, you can grab a flyer, and also Tammy will be out there tonight if you want to jump in and register for your group. Potential pitfalls is our theme this year, those things that can potentially get us to trip and stumble, and so hopefully we'll gain some victory this year. And so we're still going to have the same groups as we do every year, that you can choose whatever group you're in. This year we're adding an additional group on Tuesday mornings for a lot for the ladies that are serve on at Kids Club, and they can't be in here on Wednesday nights, and anybody can join them, but it'll be watching the DVD of the teaching the previous week, so they'll be 1 week behind us, and then the following week they'll have their group discussion. So that's just a heads up for Bible study, which is just right around the corner. Okay, so I don't know how many of you were here the last time when we talked about the gifts, or maybe you weren't here, but you've had an opportunity to listen. If you haven't listened and you didn't come last time, I don't think you'll be confused, but you'll probably have a lot of questions. So I would just refer you back to that. And we're going to do the same thing we did last time, and that is as I'm sharing, if you have questions, jot them down, and then at the end, we will give you an opportunity to ask those questions and see if there is an answer. We'll see if I can give the answer. Okay, so the last time we met, we were in 1 Corinthians 12:14, and then in Romans 8. And we saw, most importantly, that we weren't supposed to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So we learned a lot about them, so we have some knowledge. So we may still be a little ignorant, but we're not as ignorant as last time. And every year and every day, you know, we're growing and becoming less ignorant on those spiritual things. We also saw that each one of us, each one of God's people, has at least one spiritual gift. The gifts are given to profit the body of Christ. The gifts aren't given so that we look a certain way or get recognized or they're for our own use. They are for the body of Christ to profit them. We can't produce them. We can't work them up. We can't pick and choose. We are to use the gifts that God gives us for his purposes. So hopefully some of you who maybe didn't know what your spiritual gift was, you've learned, discovered that since then. Maybe you've had conversations and somebody said, well, I could have told you that. You know, of course you have that gift or something like that. I hope that's what happened. And if not, maybe you'll discover that tonight too. So how then do we use these gifts that we looked at last time? How do we use them to profit the body? Where do we use them? How does all of that work? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. But before we do that, we need to talk about the attitude of our heart, our outlook on them, how we are supposed to do that to reflect the Lord and to have the fruit of the Spirit also flowing out of our lives. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, and I am going to read, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. So there's going to be a lot more words than what is in your Bible because the Amplified amplifies it. But I thought for this section, it just was so good. Okay, so verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, spiritually transformed, united together, whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Holy Spirit, since the same Holy Spirit fills each life. Verse 14. For the human body does not consist of one part, but of many limbs and organs. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not, on the contrary, still a part of the body? If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not, on the contrary, still a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, as things really are, God has placed and arranged the parts in the body, each one of them just as he willed and saw fit, with the best balance of function. If they were a single organ, where would the rest of the body be? But now, as things really are, there are many parts, different limbs and organs, but a single body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But quite the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are absolutely necessary. And as for those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, these we treat with greater honor, and our less presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, while our more presentable parts do not require it. But God has combined the whole body, giving greater honor to that part which lacks it, so that there would be no division or discord in the body, that is, lack of adaption of the parts to each other. But that the parts may have the same concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all the parts share the suffering. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function. Now, I like the Amplified in that. It really brings out in more depth. And I'm not going to get into that a lot, only to say that we can pull some don'ts and do's from that. So, we just read and learned we are not supposed to compare ourselves, our gifts, with one another. So don't compare the gift that you have with the gift that somebody else has. I don't know what it is about human nature, and maybe especially women, we like to compare. And the Bible tells us that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So anytime we compare ourselves with one another, it's stupid. It's just not a smart thing to do, because we're either going to get a big head or we're going to feel like dirt. So we are not to compare the gifts that we've been given with what somebody else has been given. Don't be discontent with your spiritual gift or gifts. Don't be discontent, dissatisfied. Well, I didn't want that one. I wanted this one. Don't minimize or put down your gift. Don't use false humility when it comes to your gift. Well, you know, it's really nothing. And then don't get puffed up, prideful, or a big head concerning your gift. Don't look down on others that have different gifts and maybe in your eyes lesser gifts, because there are no lesser gifts. The liver is just as important as the mouth. Do have the right heart and the right heart attitude toward spiritual gifts, toward yours in using yours, and toward others and supporting them as they use their spiritual gifts. We are to be servants when it comes to our entire lives, not just with spiritual gifts, but even in spiritual gifts, to be a servant, to think of others. And just as verse 25 said, we're supposed to have the same concern and care, so that if someone else is being exalted, we're going to rejoice with them. If somebody else is having a hard time, we're going to have a hard time. We're all going to be like-minded. Very important when we use our spiritual gifts, to be like-minded and to know we are doing this not in and of ourselves, but because they have been given by God. We are to be grateful. A couple months ago, I was reading in 1 Chronicles 29 during my quiet time, and it was toward the end of David's life, and David wasn't allowed to build the temple. His son Solomon was allowed to build the temple, but while David was alive, he started storing up things for the temple, and then he called upon the people to give, to just freely give of yourself, of your resources, whatever it might be, for the temple. And as I was reading, verse 14 just really hit me once again, and that is when he was praying to the Lord and kind of praising and thanking the Lord for all of this. David said, "Who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." He recognized that it was a privilege to give, to serve, to use our resources, to use whatever he's given us, to give them back to the Lord, because all that we have, whether it is a talent, whether it's a spiritual gift, a resource, an ability, no matter what it is, it comes from him. Even if you were born with a certain ability, it came from him. And we should have that same heart as David had in, like, who am I? Who am I that I've even been given a gift, and that I'm going to be able to use that gift to bless somebody else? That's very humbling, And that's the kind of heart attitude that we need to have when it comes to our spiritual gifts. That it is, it's a humbling thing. We're to be grateful and then not stubborn with it. We need to use that gift and not, because again, it's not given just for me, just for you. We don't hide it in a napkin and go put it away. It is to be used. So anytime we are around the body of Christ, because spiritual gifts are given for the profit of all, and he's speaking in context of believers. Anytime we're around a group of believers, anytime we're around the body of Christ on Sundays, on Wednesday nights, on any of the time the Bible studies are meeting throughout the week, those gifts should be operating. They should be operating in and through God's people. So, in a church setting, like on Sundays, Wednesday nights, how are these gifts what does it look like to see them operated? Some of us, maybe not even, we don't recognize it. We don't recognize it every single Sunday. All these gifts are being used. It's not just people that are nice people and they thought they'd help, or because they've got a degree or whatever it might be. No, these are spiritual gifts that have been given, and then some of those spiritual gifts have a calling to go along with it that these people are serving. So in a group of believers, so let's just say an afterglow. We call them afterglows here. They can also be called a believer's meeting or a time of waiting on the Lord. We have those once in a while. We haven't had one in a long time, but where we kind of get in a circle, we get closer, we get in a circle, and there's some worship, but it's a time of waiting on the Lord. It's a time of listening for his voice. Does he want to speak? And how does he want to speak? In a time like that, now, and that can be where, you know, we do this in this room. It can be in a home fellowship meeting. It can be in a small discussion meeting. It can be sometimes in a prayer meeting. So it can be a big group. It can be a smaller group of believers when all the believers are together and that time is given to the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. So how do those gifts get operated? How can we use our gifts? Now remember, there are some gifts that we cannot work up. And he has to, but we have that gift, but he prompts us. He speaks for us. He gives the knowledge. He gives the prophecy. He gives the word of exhortation or the vision or whatever it might be. We can't work those up. So those kind of gifts in a smaller group like that, let's say a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. If you've been to an afterglow before, and I have no idea if you have or not, but if you've been in an afterglow where we're sitting around waiting, listening to the Lord and the Holy Spirit, if you hear something like, somebody lost their job. Now, how would a person know that? If I said that, and I'm, the Lord is giving me a word of knowledge. That is a piece of information that I cannot know otherwise. He may tell me a person's name, usually doesn't, but I know that there's somebody that just lost their job, and he's giving that word to speak to that person, to encourage that person. I know you lost your job. I know you're worried about it. Or there's a person that just received some very, very bad news. Or there's a person here that's struggling with infertility. Or there's a person here that has to make a major decision in life, and you're terrified and you don't know what to do. All of those type of things, when you hear those, oh, that's a word of knowledge. Because how does the pastor, how does the elder, how does the person know that somebody's sitting there? Are you following me on that? Okay, it's not just, gee, I think with this many people, there's got to be somebody with a stomachache. You know, it's not that kind of a thing. It is the Lord speaking to the person who he's given the gift of word of knowledge to. You have to learn to hear his voice, to recognize his voice, to know that that's what he's, when you're new to all of this, it's always a good idea at a time like that, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, why would I think that? You get up and you go talk to a pastor, you talk to an elder, you talk to somebody, say, this is what just popped into my head. Then they might say, sounds like a word of knowledge. And then your heart starts pounding and everything, but he wants you to speak that forth. There's a reason for that. There's something more than just a word of knowledge. He wants to give a word of wisdom or a word of comfort or an exhortation or something like that. It can also be a word of knowledge. Somebody in this room is really playing with sin right now. Now, how would I know that? Unless the Lord is telling me and I'm going to give this word of knowledge. So a word of wisdom would be then to speak into each one of those examples that I gave of what that person's supposed to do. Now, of course, the easy one is stop sinning. That's a word of wisdom. Stop sinning. Or you're going to be offered 3 jobs by the end of the week. And you need to take the one that's closest to your home or whatever it might be. That would be the word of wisdom. Or if a prophecy came with it, or a word of exhortation would come with it, it would say, okay, somebody's playing with sin, playing with their liberties. You need to stop because you are on the edge. And something drastic is going to happen unless you turn around. But God gives you the power and the strength to turn around, and you need to take that step. That's a word of exhortation that might have gone with a word of knowledge. I hope I am not confusing you, but this is why we need to hear these things over and over and over again until they finally settle in our hearts and our minds. Like, okay, so that's what that is. I heard that the last time we were in an afterglow. Okay, now I'm getting that. Or, boy, the Lord told me something, and I didn't know what it was, or I didn't even know it was him telling me. Now I know. So prophecy, in a time of waiting on the Lord, remember that prophecy, it builds up, it stirs up, it lifts up, can be God's written word, it can be the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart, our mind prompting us to share something. He could be saying, there is somebody here that is doubting God's love. And then the Lord just says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Don't doubt my love. How can you doubt my love? Look at the cross. And, on and on and on and on. That's a prophecy. He's speaking to us. It's God's heart, his words, his heart speaking to an individual or a group of people. Sometimes, as we said last time, he can do that in a vision or word pictures, where you see somebody walking through a field with their head down, and they're holding their heart, because they're shaking their head or something like that, because they're doubting God's love, and then he comes in and swoops you off, and whatever it is. I'm not good at these kind of illustrations, so. That wasn't on my paper. So, tongues. You might hear the gift of tongues in an afterglow, in a small group setting. If you do, it must, as we spoke about last time, be followed with an interpretation of tongues. Because otherwise, we don't know what you're saying. It is not edifying. In fact, it's a little confusing. You might be edified, but nobody else is. And if we're in a believer's meeting, it's there for the profit of all. So he speaks in 14 to not speak out in tongues unless there is an interpretation. Pray for an interpretation. So that's in a believer's meeting, that way it would be for the profit of the body. And again, it can't profit the body if there's no interpretation. A gift of faith. can be operated in a time like that, because a lot of times it takes a gift of faith to speak out a word of knowledge. So that person's receiving that little gift of faith to speak out the word of knowledge or the prophecy. It also can be a gift of faith can be given to a person that maybe is receiving whatever God is saying, especially concerning a healing, where somebody might speak and say, the Lord is showing me someone's right hand, and they've had some kind of pain or problem or whatever, and it's in the third finger, and blah, 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 and the Lord wants to heal you tonight. Well, that would take a gift of faith, probably if I was going to say that, it'd take a gift of faith for me to say that, and then a gift of faith for you to jump up and say, that's my hand, it's my right finger, blah, 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 you know, and you jump up and you get prayer. So that's how we can see the gift of faith in operating in that kind of a setting. Also with the healings and miracles, it's the same thing, like I just said with the healing thing. June Hesterly has come and spoken several times at our women's conferences over the years. If any of you remember her, the first time I saw her, I was a brand new Christian, and we went to a retreat, and her and Jim were teaching on the Holy Spirit. That has been kind of their ministry all their lives, is teaching on the Holy Spirit. June has an incredible gift. I've never seen anybody do this before. You know, the guys on TV who have these healing things, as we find out after, have the little, you know, transmitter in their ear that they've interviewed people, and the wife's in the back saying, okay, it's the guy in the third row and he's got a hip problem or, you know, whatever. I know June. She doesn't have anything in her ear. It's just how God uses her. And I have seen her at Afterglows, and this is how he uses her. She'll just get up, okay, the Lord's showing me the hand. Okay, he's showing me the foot. He's showing me this, he's showing me that. She's not healing them. She is pointing that out, and she always calls them up for prayer, and people lay hands on them, pray, and people get healed. And that's how God has used hers, which to me, any healing is a miracle. I think we see a lot of healings, again, and a lot of miracles, and we don't recognize them because they seem, you know, too small in our eyes. So in our place, those are mainly the gifts that get used within a believer's meeting, within an afterglow. But there are a lot more gifts, as we saw last time we were together. And many of those we can initiate, we can do, okay? And those also operate on Sundays, on Wednesdays, in the Bible studies, and wherever we are at church as we serve, because we can and we should use our spiritual gifts. All believers are called to serve. Every single person within the body of Christ is called to serve. The gifts are given, then we use them in our serving to profit the entire body. So, in a given church, let's just use our church for an example. We can serve on Sundays. Many, many people serve in children's ministry. A lot of gifts going on in children's ministry, people using their gifts in the youth ministry, in the hospitality ministry. And we might think, well, what is that? I don't see that on Sundays. Well, you do, because there's coffee, there's napkins, there's sugar out, there's stir sticks, there's no garbage on the floor. There's a coffee cart. There's all of that speaks of hospitality. When you walk in the women's restroom and it's clean and it's pretty, that speaks hospitality. When there are greeters at the door, that speaks hospitality. You know, it's like having a dinner party at your house and you're laying on the couch. You invited all these people over for dinner and you're just laying on the couch. No, that's not hospitality. Hospitality is I've planned a menu, I've set the table, I went shopping. You don't shop when they get there. or start dinner when they get there. It's already, you've already planned. This is hospitality. It speaks of, we're waiting for you. We invited you here. We want you to come. That's how the church is to be. So we need lots of hospitality people to say, hi, welcome, we're glad you're here. Oh, here, I'll pick that up. You know, I love that. I love that I see that. And we have been so blessed with so many wonderful people that love people. They love people, so they welcome them in and they take care of them. So the hospitality ministry always needs people to serve. It doesn't matter how old you are, okay? We have some younger women, just kids, but to me, because the older I get, everybody's a kid now. Doesn't matter how old you are to serve in these ministries. Women's ministry. We need women, young women, to serve in women's ministry. Things just don't, even tonight, it's not just, oh, we all just came. No, there was planning, there was whatever. These gifts are in operation, and we need more of that. Information counter on Sundays, which is a wonderful place to meet people. The media counter out there and the sound booth. And we need women in that sound booth. And it's not as scary as you think. You can be trained. You can learn. And then we have women helping with events and things like that that we do. The bookstore or even the facility, helping again around the facility. All those things, all those ministry areas, we can take our gifts and we can use them in those areas of service, and we should be using them. We looked last week, it was in Romans 8, about the word ministry that translates deacon or deaconess, and it seems like they have the gift of helps and some administration and things like that, but it's a calling too. But there are a lot of women, and again, I'm not going to name names, I would really like to, but I'm not going to because I'll leave somebody out. But there are a lot of women here that don't even realize that that's what they're doing, but they are. They're being a deaconess. They are doing a little bit more than just getting the cups ready or something. They're helping oversee. They're helping. They have an eye for that. They have a calling for that. They are gifted in that. Maybe that's you, and you need to step out in that, find out where the greatest need is, or the Lord will direct you, and use your gift that way. Helps to take by the hand, to make it easier for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. Beautiful gift. We need that gift. We have so many people with the gift of helps here. It blows me away. It's wonderful to see. But In each area of those ministries, and there are probably ministries I've forgotten or, you know, I left out, but not on purpose, they all need help. They need helpers, those with the gift of helps, to go into those ministries and to use your gift. Now, do you see why I'm saying you can initiate that? You can do that when you know I have the gift of helps. And then, Lord, I feel like my heart is being pulled in this direction. Then I go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I can use that gift. I can't go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and give a word of knowledge over and over and over. I can't do that. I can't prophesy. I can't exhort. I mean, I can exhort in the flesh, but I can't give the gift of exhortation or word of knowledge, word of wisdom, those things. I can't do that. I got to wait for the Spirit to prompt me. But this gift of ministry, these gift of helps, I can get in there and I can do. If you have the gift of helps, use your gift. You will be blessed. Administration. One who steers, directs, navigates. Again, those in these ministries, administrators are all needed. There's probably going to be an a top administrator, but that administrator needs administrative assistance. And then sometimes that administrative assistant needs administrative assistance. So we all get to use our gifts. If you have that gift, make yourself available. Let whoever know in whatever ministry that the Lord's pulling your heart to, let them know. The gift of leading, it's the same thing. That's steering, directing, delegating, being able to, again, lead. You know, you look on Sunday mornings out there at that children's church. It's amazing how, I mean, Pastor Mark oversees that, but there are so many administrators. There are so many leaders. There are deacons and deaconesses out there working. It's wonderful to see. They may not even realize that those are the gifts that they have, but they do. We can all see it. And what is it doing? It is profiting the body of Christ. Every single one of us, whether you have kids over there or not, it makes everything smooth and peaceful and happy, which affects you. Teaching, that is another gift that can be used within those ministries. And this teaching means it's not just being a teacher, like a math teacher or whatever. It is a supernatural ability to make God's word, his truth, clear and understandable. So that can be on a first grade level. You do not want Pastor Damien to go in and teach the first graders. He would not be able to make it clear and understandable. But boy, some of you do. And we've got so many over there that do, because they have a gift of teaching spiritual truths to those children. So if that's you, if you think, okay, I can do that, I can't teach up there, but I can teach kids, then do it. Or, oh no, I can't do that, I would be over their head. Then get plugged in, make yourself available wherever the Lord is directing you. The gift of giving, that's in resources or financially. And so within the body of Christ, within the church as a whole, within these ministries, those people that have the gift of giving are prompted by the Lord, and they in seeing a need, and then making their resources available to meet that need. I mean, it can be all, it has just been a blessing to see how the Lord uses people with the gift of giving, whether they give a bicycle for the guys to ride around in the parking lot. Well, that bike's looking a little shabby, or their little vests are torn, or, you know, whatever it might be. They just have that's their spiritual gift, is to give. Or they can give physical materials to the church body that profits all of us. They can give money that would profit all of us, so that you're being able to sit on comfortable chairs and that kind of a thing. These people with a gift of giving, they know that there's a camp coming up. You know there's people that cannot afford to send their kids to camp, and their kids need to go to camp. I'm going to, you know, give this much, and I want 15 kids to go to camp, or whatever it might be. If that's your gift, use your gift. Use your resources to profit the body. We can also use our gifts in those ministries during the week. The children's ministry, it runs all week long, and we need volunteer work, volunteer helpers to use their gifts. Any of these ministries during the week, it's not just on Sundays, to step up and to get those gifts operating in our lives. There's a passage in John chapter 2 that's always just kind of been a little special passage for me. And it's when Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, where he turned the water into wine. Remember that when he was there and the ceremony, the, you know, the feast was going on and they ran out of wine. And his mother said, "Jesus, they ran out of wine." And he said, "What do you want me to do about it? I'm, you know, why are you telling me this?" And then she just looked at the servants and said, "Whatever he tells you, just do it." And then he said, "Go get some water pots, fill them up with water. Now take this pot and go give it to the master of the feast." So he poured the pot of water into the goblet to the master of the feast. He drank it. And he said, "Why did you hold the best wine until now? Usually that's given at the beginning where everybody's taste buds, they can taste and they know. At the end, they don't know. They've eaten, they've drank already, they don't know. You give the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best for last." I love that story because the master of the feast didn't know where that wine came from. But it says, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. They were the only ones who knew. Those who had been serving. They got the blessing because they got to see Jesus work. Now that was a miracle, of course. And they also knew because when Mary said to them, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." They did it. So whatever the Lord is telling you to do tonight concerning your spiritual gifts, do it. There's a huge blessing in there. Do it. They saw the miracle, the servants, and they were blessed because they were serving. Now, everybody at the wedding was blessed by it. They all got to drink the wine. They were all blessed. But those servants received the greater blessing because they knew what God had done. When you serve and you see how God moves, you see the miracles, you see how he touches hearts and how he orchestrates all these things that just couldn't be because you ran out of this, and this broke, and this didn't get shipped in time, and that, and this, and whatever it might be. And then you, because you're serving, you see what he has done. It is the best thing. It is the best thing about serving. Behind the scenes, it's like a little sneaky spy thing that you get to spy out what God has done because you, me, we're using our gifts. We're using them, and then we get to be a part of that and how he does that. I just love that. So don't miss out on that. You know, don't get to the end of your life and say, "I should have served. I should have taught Sunday school. I should have been a greeter. I should have gotten involved in women's ministry. I should have ministered in the convalescent home," or whatever it might be. We don't want to get to the end of our life and say, "I should have done anything." We need to be doing it now. So all the gifts can be used at any time that the Lord wants to use them and how he prompts us. So in our daily lives or when we are fellowshipping one-on-one or in a little tiny group or whatever it might be. So I just gave you some examples of how certain gifts are used in an afterglow, in a believer's meeting, and then how other gifts are used on a Sunday within the body of Christ. There's no, when I didn't use one gift in one setting, there's no rule here. So this is not exact. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you examples to get your mind, okay, I get it. So you know what? The Holy Spirit, he can do whatever he wants. He orchestrates. You can try to put him in a box. You are going to be in the box. He's not. You know, he's going to keep being him. And you're going to miss out. So he can do whatever he wants and use people however he wants. So I was just giving examples of the church body and then as we serve within the church, but also when we are in fellowship with one another. The gift of mercy. Of course, mercy can be used in any of those areas, but a lot of times it's used one-on-one or individually or that type of thing. So that mercy is that compassion, kindness, encouragement, way beyond the fruit of the Spirit, because we are all called to be kind, to be considerate, to be compassionate toward one another. It's the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. This is the gift of mercy. Beyond that, and boy, you can recognize those, at least I think I can, and you can recognize those people. Those people, whether it's on a Sunday or in a small group or whatever, they just know who's lonely. They know who's hurting because the Lord just kind of pulls them over to those people. And they have a heart to minister mercy and compassion to them. Not everybody has that gift, as you know. We've all received mercy from people. And then we've received mercy from people with the gift of mercy. And that's huge. It's just because it's just the Lord in them speaking that kindness and compassion to the people. And it's demonstrated. It's not just all words. Also, that gift of giving can be used not just in a big thing, but you know, if you have the gift of giving, and I mean, I knew years ago we had a friend who was a hairdresser, and she didn't work anymore, but she used that talent because she had the gift of giving to give of her resources to give haircuts to people who couldn't afford them. I mean, that's something we can do with the gift of giving. There are a lot of wonderful men and women who are professional men and women, and they give their legal services free of charge to people who maybe can't afford that, or they have a lawn service, and they give in that way where they take care of somebody's lawn or their medical expenses or whatever it might be. Maybe the person with the gift of giving doesn't, they don't have the gift of helps, that the gift of helps would go over and bring, you know, make the dinner and bring the dinner to the person who just got out of the hospital or who needed dinner. The person with the gift of giving, they'll just order the pizza, you know, and have the pizza delivered or something like that. But they are going to give. This the gift of exhortation. That's giving and applying truth, urging, stirring into action, or obedience, correction, encouragement. Where that happens a lot in conversation. It can be in a small group discussion, it can be one-on-one, it can be three people standing there at church, or it can be at Costco, it can be anywhere where you, if you have that gift, you get into a conversation and you use that gift because the Lord is speaking to you. It's not just that you are, well, I haven't seen them at church for a while, so I'm going to tell them they need to be in church. You know, that's not the gift of exhortation. But if he's prompting you, and then you see somebody, you know, I haven't seen you in a long time. Well, yeah, you know, I kind of got busy. And then the gift of exhortation says, hey, you really need to be in fellowship. You need to be taught the Word of God. You are missing out. God misses you. The saints miss you. He wants to use you. That's the gift of exhortation. You're prompting that person, but it's not condemning. It's stirring them up. It's encouraging them also. The gift of prophecy in everyday conversation or small groups or one-on-one or whatever. It builds up, stirs up, lifts up, remember? So there are times where I know for my own life, as I'm speaking to people, there are times where I'm speaking and I know what I am saying is directly from the Lord. It is a prophecy. And there have been times where I'm speaking and I'm looking at the person and we're just looking And she's like glued, locked in, because it's the Spirit of God that's speaking. You know, it's not just weird thing. It's just like she knows, and I know, this is not me, but she knows. Sometimes I don't know. She knows. She goes home, and then maybe not, but maybe she writes a note and says, boy, God was speaking to me through you. Okay, maybe that's happened to you. And maybe you have that gift of prophecy. Maybe the Lord won't have you speak out in a big afterglow, but maybe he has you speak among God's people. I remember a handful of years ago, I was in the car with Linda Dillo. Linda Dillo came and spoke at our women's conferences a few times also. And I think it was the first time she came, so it's a while ago. Anyway, we kind of clicked, and you know, you're talking and sharing and blah, 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 blah. And I went to drop her off at her hotel. And we were just talking, and she just looked at me. And, you know, I'll listen to anything she has to say. I love that woman. And she said, you know, I think the Lord's speaking to me and wants me to tell you something. Like, okay. You know, I'm not going to tell you what she said, but she did say what she said to me. I said, okay. It wasn't like, wow, this was what I've been waiting for. It wasn't that. It was like, I'm going to need a gift of faith for that one, you know, or whatever. So I've tucked that away in my heart. And she got done and she said, I think it was the Lord, but, you know, and that's usually, it's like, time will tell, you know. But it has been, it's been interesting. Word of wisdom, if the Lord gives you the gift of word of wisdom, I would just give you a little wisdom with that gift. Be really sure it's the Lord speaking to you. When you go to give someone a word of wisdom, be sure that it's the Lord. We as women like to give advice and tell people exactly what they need to be doing. And that's different than a word of wisdom. So grow in that and learn to be patient and hear his voice in that. Same thing with a word of knowledge. Privately with tongues, as I mentioned last time we were together, it is that praise to the Lord when he gives you that gift of tongues or a prayer language. It's that praise to him. It's also that prayer where sometimes there are no words. And Damien spoke recently about the groaning of the Spirit, which is groaning of the Spirit. It's not tongues, but it's the groaning of the Spirit. But when you have that gift of tongues, that prayer language, there are times, and I don't even do it on purpose, but sometimes when I'm certain things where I am praying and it's like, ugh, I don't know what to pray. I mean, I just am beside myself. I have no words or whatever. I just find myself just starting to pray in my prayer language. And it doesn't change. My prayer language doesn't change when I'm praising the Lord or when I'm praying. It's the same. My spirit is different. My tone is different. But that's how that gift operates. And again, we can initiate that. And that one is for us. Discerning of spirits. As we spoke last time, it's that supernatural discernment of spirits. There are some very wise people and discerning people, but this is different. It's a spiritual gift to discern between what is truth, what is the human spirit, or what is the demonic spirit at work. If you have that gift and you are in the body of Christ and you come across someone, something, and you get a red flag, discerning of spirits, go talk with one of the pastors and let them know, and they can discern and handle that. It's not really our, within the church, it's not our place. It's our leaders that would do that. But if you have that red flag thing in your heart, in your spirit, certainly go, don't just dismiss that, but go talk with one of the pastors. So, all of these gifts, and I may have left some out, but all the gifts, all the time, can be used, and they should be used. They should be operating within our lives. Paul, did I already say this? That Paul, when Paul spoke to Timothy or wrote to Timothy, did I say that or pray that? I don't remember. I'm going to say it again anyway. Then you'll really remember, okay? So when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, stir up the gifts that are within you by the laying on of my hands. So evidently, Paul prayed for Timothy for the gifts of the Spirit. He laid his hands on him, prayed for Timothy, young pastor. He needed those spiritual gifts. God gave them to him. And maybe Timothy wasn't using them. Maybe, he talks about don't be timid, so possibly he wasn't. I don't know. But he's telling Timothy, stir them up. Allow God to use you. Use those gifts. And that's what the Lord called us here tonight for, is to stir our hearts, to stir up the gifts that are within us. I don't care how old you are, it doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've known the Lord. You have a spiritual gift. Use it. Use it. Start using it. You have to exercise, just like regular exercise, your muscles are going to get all flabby and mushy if you don't use them. You work them out. You've got to use those spiritual gifts, and you'll go stronger and stronger. Look at, who was it? Was it Elijah or Elisha? I get that all mixed up. Well, whoever the guy was, it was sitting on the hill. Or, no, he was in the house. I'm not going to try to figure out who it was. It doesn't matter who it was right now, because that is not the point. I'm telling myself this, because I'm wanting to figure it out. And she came on the, because her son died, and she came on the donkey, and he said, let her in. I might be getting this all mixed up, but we'll find it later, and it'll give you something to do. Look it up. Make sure I'm saying what I'm saying. I know the point is right. And he said, the Lord's hiding it from me. I don't know why she's coming. I mean, now that's a guy who uses his spiritual gifts. He is so in tune and used to having the Lord give him a word of knowledge and give him this and give him that, that when he does it, he's a little confused there. The Lord's not telling me what's going on until she came and then told him. So the point is, we want to grow and get to this place where we can discern the Lord's voice. We know that's the Holy Spirit within us that's stirring up those gifts, that's prompting us, and that we won't have any fear or being timid or selfish and just, I'm not going to use it, I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to do it. This is all for me. I mean, whatever it might be. Get rid of those excuses. We all have had them. And be like those servants at Cana. Man, you don't know what the Lord's going to do, how he's going to use you. So desire those gifts. Ask. Stir my heart, Lord, and direct me. Before you come into church on Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever you're coming to a Bible study, wherever it may be, think before you go. Pray before you go and say, what is my assignment? What is my mission today? How do you want to use me? This is so exciting. I've got a spiritual gift here. Lord, can I use it tonight? Please, would you just speak to me? Would you use me? I want to help. I want to speak. I want to do whatever it might be. How can I be used? When's the last time any of us did that? Do you know that should be normal? It really should be normal in our lives. So let's get into a new normal here. Or do I come in and I'm just here for me? Where's my friends? who can meet my need? I got to talk to them, blah, 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 blah. You know, we're here to minister to one another, to build up the body of Christ. Stir up the gifts that are within you. Do whatever you're called to do at the moment, whatever moment you're in. What's the Lord called me to do? How does he want to use me? Okay, so any questions tonight? We'll close in a song, but we'll close in a song after questions. You don't have to have a question. You're not going to make me feel bad if you... I mean, I won't feel bad if you don't have a question. There's no pressure. I used to put pressure on myself. I don't really, doesn't matter. So, I don't want you to be confused. Is anybody confused? Go like this if you're confused. Yes. Do I have any more stories that, like I shared with June's ministry and Linda speaking to me? Do I? I probably have a ton, but can I remember them right now? Part three, no. We won't have a part three, but if I do, I'll come find you, Dina. Yeah, I can't think right now. Glenda. She asked, in an afterglow setting, if they're prompted to speak out in tongues, how do they know that there would be an interpretation? Well, that's why Paul says, pray that you interpret. Okay, so the person with the gift of tongues that feels prompted to speak out needs to ask the Lord for the interpretation. He may or may not give it to them. Then typically what the person should do is, I feel the Lord wants me to speak out in my prayer language. Does anyone have an interpretation? So I've seen that happen before. Or I've also seen where that person goes up to the pastor and says, blah, 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 and then the pastor says, does anybody have an interpretation? If there is no one with an interpretation, then that person does not speak out. Now, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this, but this is my opinion. I've already qualified that, so. The best way is when you are in a group of believers and the Spirit is free to just move among those people and someone just speaks out in tongues and the interpretation comes from somebody. Because it's a work of the Spirit. The smaller the group, these are my opinions, okay? So the smaller the group, it's like the more freedom that there is, because typically everybody's really like-minded. When we used to have our Sunday nights, when we were down on 10th and F, every Sunday night was a communion and afterglow. It was very different because there were, 40 people. When we come in here, we've had the times of waiting on the Lord in here. It's very difficult because you can't hear. People don't want to sit down in front. They don't want to get close. They're, how we are. And so spread out. And then sometimes on Sunday nights, you have a lot of visitors too. So it's not all believers, or they believe differently. So it just seems like, and again, this is my opinion, it's like the Spirit isn't as free, So it's in those in those quiet group times, like in your small groups, when you know those women and you just have that time of prayer and praise, and the Spirit just, that's just what He does. Dan. You know, I want to stick to questions right now, you know, because we're recording and everything. So, any other questions? Blanca. When you're speaking in your prayer language. Uh-huh. When you pray in your prayer language, do you know what you're saying? Only if He's given you the interpretation to it. Okay? So if He never has, then you don't. I don't know what I'm saying. When I pray or I'm praising Him in my prayer language in tongues, I do not know what that, I don't have an interpretation to it. So I don't know. All I know is it's right. And it's pleasing to Him, and it builds me up, because it tells us that tongues edifies the person who's using that gift. Some people know their interpretation to their prayer language, but from the people that I have known over the years who have shared with me, they don't. They don't. Well, it is. Well, okay. So she's saying, how do you know you're speaking in tongues, or? Uh-huh.
And that to me is kind of frightening, because I don't know what I'm
right. Praying. Right. Okay, so she's saying if you do speak in tongues, if He gives you that gift, it can be a little frightening because she doesn't know what she's saying. Yes, it is, until you receive it by faith. And Were you here the last time we were? Okay, because I just don't want to repeat everything. But it's not a feeling. You can have a feeling, but it's a sense. Your spirit bears witness. His spirit bears witness with your spirit, and you know. And I had shared last time, I had to get over that personally. I had to get over it. Yes, Karen, this is your prayer language. I'm giving it to you. Take it. Okay, I feel stupid. I don't know what I'm saying, and I felt like that for a long time. I had to get over it, and I did get over it. I still don't know what the translation interpretation is, but I know without a doubt, because I feel, and I don't like to use the word feel, but I am stronger after I use it. My spirit, I'm edified, I'm built up, I'm empowered. And if I'm praying in tongues, in those times where it's like, I don't know what to pray, and I'm praying, I feel like I've accomplished something. You know, it's like, okay, this burden has been lifted off of me now, because He knows what it means. You know, He knows. And it can be three words or whatever, and it could be a paragraph interpretation. It could be the Amplified Bible, interpretation. Not just, I don't know, if that's making sense, but that's the best I can explain that. But if you have that gift, don't be afraid to use it, and pray for it, because it does build you up. And I need that. Any other questions before we close in a song? He can now, technically, you're not building up the body of Christ because the body of Christ is not at your work, but some of them are, you know, and you're a part of that. So, yeah, in your everyday life, and I shared, maybe it was last time, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. It was for me to prepare me to go into a certain somewhere that had no believers there. But he gave me that word of knowledge so that my heart would be prepared so I could better represent him. So those kind of things, you know. Or Damien has shared this story where he was brand new Christian and he was out street witnessing with somebody who's, you know, like a year older than him in the Lord. And the Lord gave him word of knowledge. And so they're standing at the parking lot in McDonald's. And he said, you're to a unbeliever. He's witnessing to him. And he's, you know, giving him excuses. He said, that's because you're living with your girlfriend. I'm not living with my... Well, it ended up, he's living with his girlfriend. He broke down. He prayed to receive the Lord. So, yeah. We'll be expecting a report at your work. But yeah, he uses those kind of gifts too to bring people into his kingdom and to show his power. Anybody else? Okay, well, I hope that last time and this time you've got more knowledge and things to talk to the Lord about. Talk to one another. When you get back in your small groups, you know, talk about it and see what the Lord will do. Let's stir up those gifts. So I'm going to close in prayer, and these girls are going to close us in a song. Father, I pray that you would take these things that were shared, and I pray that you would sift through them in each heart. And Lord, just make your truth stick and your heart and your mind stick. And Father, I pray for those who have questions and might be hesitant or confused. I pray that this would just have stirred something within them to find the answers out, to get on their knees, on their face before you, and to open your word and to seek counsel or whatever it might be, Lord. I do pray. I pray, Father, for my own life, and I pray for every single woman in this room and who will ever listen to this. I pray that your gifts would be stirred in our hearts, in our lives. I pray, Father, that we would not hide them away. We would not be afraid of them. I pray that you would give us boldness, confidence, the gift of faith, whatever we need, Lord, to step out and to use the gifts that you've given us. I pray that for fresh wind and fresh fire in this place, in our hearts and our minds, and now as we go out and we, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, as we go and we meet with your people and we serve and we're in our places where we minister and are connected with one another, I pray that you would just use us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, the awe, that you would even give us a gift and that you would even use us. It's mind-boggling. Just thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name.